In John chapter 1, our text tonight is verse 35 and following. Before I get to our text, I want to read three verses that we've already read in the last 2 weeks. In John chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And John is saying, hey, all of us disciples, we've seen His glory. We've seen the glory of God. And we've seen this glory that God has, that Christ has, and we've seen that He's full of grace and truth. And John testified about Jesus and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.'" But verse 16 says this: "For of His fullness," whose fullness? Y'all help me to make my sermon shorter. "For of His fullness," who is He talking about? Christ. "For of His fullness," now what He means is that Jesus is really, really amazing. Jesus is really, really awesome. He is God, the Creator. He's above everything. He's above everyone. He's high and exalted. He is God Almighty, and He's came in human flesh. "And in His fullness," I mean, like in the fullness of Jesus, "we have all received, and grace upon grace." Now, you know, every one of us who are saved have received the grace of Jesus, that He died on the cross in our place. He suffered the wrath of God that was intended for us. He paid our penalty. I'm telling you, that is grace. You didn't have to spend eternity separated from God in hell for 10 billion times 10 billion years without any relief. I'd say that's grace. Grace, He said, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. I'm telling you, friend, God is gracious all the time. And if you're saved, you've seen it and you've experienced God's grace. Well, in verse 35 and following, John is mentioning several things that are just like really grace. In verse 35, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, he'd already said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But the next day, he's with a couple of his disciples. He's there with them, there with him. They're following John. And while they're right there with John, he looks and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." He's pointing out Jesus again. And two of his disciples heard him speak, and they started following Jesus. I mean, John watched two of his followers say, hey, John, we're going to start following Jesus. And John is saying, that's why I'm here. My whole purpose in life is to get people to follow Jesus. John's gospel is the same mission that John the Baptist had. His reason for everything he did was so that people would see Jesus's glory, who He is, what He has done, what He's doing, what He came to do. And John wants you and I to see the glory of Jesus and follow Him. And John wants us to follow who Jesus is. Is not who some people think He is, but who He really is. And Jesus turned, and so the first thing that I want to mention about John's ministry was to point people to Jesus. Amen. Hey, you know what our ministry ought to be? Our ministry as a church family ought to point people to Jesus. We ought to do everything we can not to point people to us, but to point people to Jesus. And we ought to do everything in our power to point people to Jesus and to show people his glory with all that we can. Now, Jesus asked them a simple question, and he said, he saw them following him, verse 38, and he said to them, "What do you seek? What are you looking for?" And they said, "Rabbi," which being translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And so what it appears they're saying is, "What are you looking for?" Well, where are you staying? Now, they may have been saying, "Well, we're looking for where you're staying," but that's really not what they were looking for. But that's what they asked him, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said to him, "Come and you'll see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he brought him to Jesus, looked at him, and said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. The son of John or Jonah, you shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. And the next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." But when these disciples first started following Jesus, Andrew told Peter in verse 41, we found first his own brother and called him and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." What I want you to understand, and I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. The Messiah means we have found the King. The word Messiah means the anointed one. But it was used in reference to anointing the King. Now, some emphasize the priest, and we know that Jesus was both King and priest, right? But ultimately, Andrew was telling Peter, "We have found the King we've been waiting for. We found the Master, the Lord, the King of Israel. We have found him." And so the glory of Jesus is when we recognize Jesus is the King. John said, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that have joined churches that have never seen his glory. They don't see Jesus as King. They don't see Jesus as their sovereign. They don't see Jesus as one of whom he has every right over us. He is our God and King, our Master, our Lord. And I want you to know that when you see him and you know King Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain for us, it'll change the way you relate to Jesus. Folks, Jesus deserves our worship and our praise and our obedience. He deserves everything, and we ought to give it to him. He's the King of the world. He's the King of Israel. Y'all didn't want to hear that. He's the King of my heart. We have found the Messiah. Now, John goes on from there. And John is saying the glory of Jesus is this, that he has power and authority to do whatever he wants to do to you and I. Listen to verse 41. And Andrew, first, the thing he did was found his brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the King, the Messiah, that we've been waiting for." And then he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. Instead of Aramaic, he gave him his Greek name, Petros, Peter. Why did John tell us that? That Jesus changed his name? You know, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, Peter, I'd like to change your name. What do you think about this? From now on, why don't we call you Peter? You like that idea?" That isn't what Jesus did. Jesus said, "From now on, you're going to be called Peter. The Rock." And I'm going to tell you, Peter was rock-like after Jesus got through with him, not when he started with him. And so Peter was the Rock, not because naturally in Peter's own strength, he was a rock. He was a rock because Jesus made him a piece of the rock. But Jesus has all authority over us. God had Peter's life planned out. All of it. God had all of Peter's life planned out, even how he was going to die. That's authority. You know what that is? That is King Jesus. And we have a lot of people that are following a Christ, but they are not following the Christ. They are following a Jesus, but they're not following the Jesus. Jesus said, if you follow him, the real me, then you shall have everlasting life. So, I mean, folks, there's something to know. The glory of Jesus is that we are following the King who has all authority over us to change our name, to change whatever he chooses, to plan our life, and to even plan our death. And you're going to say, "I'm going to sign up to follow Jesus." Amen. I signed up to follow Jesus. I still sign up to follow King Jesus, who determines whatever he wills for my life. And I think that's a good choice. Amen? Now, the last thing, one of the neatest and the funniest things out of this whole text is when we get to verse 45. Let's just continue reading. Verse 43, the next day he purposed to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." Hey, Philip, follow me, King Jesus, follow me. Don't follow something else. You follow me, who I am. You follow me. And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and so Philip found Nathanael, and I love Nathanael. I maybe like him some. And Nathanael said to him, Philip found Nathanael and said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." He was talking about Jesus. "We have found the King. We have found the long-awaited-for Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And oh, Nathanael said, "You're so stupid. There's nothing good that can come out of Nazareth." But he'll listen to Jesus. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And Jesus said about Nathanael. Now, what did Nathanael said about someone from Nazareth? Whoever's from Nazareth's not worth a dog. And Jesus says about Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." What do you think about that? Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no dishonesty. Behold, an Israelite who says what he thinks. That's not trying to hide his inside. What do you think about Nathanael? You say, "Wow, what a guy. Wow, what a guy." Was Jesus bragging on Nathanael? Now listen, Jesus said about Nathanael, here's a man in whom there's no deceit, no dishonesty. He tells what he thinks. Was Jesus bragging on him? Who said no? Thank you for saying no. Because none of the adults around here were brave enough to answer me. No, listen, folks. Jesus had just heard him. Jesus heard what he said. Jesus saw him when he was still over there, you know, sitting around with his brother. And Jesus heard Nathanael. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Jesus said to Nathanael, "Hey, guy, you are a person that you just tell what you think. You're not dishonest." What he was really saying to him is, "Hey, guy, you're a jerk. An honest jerk. You hate people because of where they're from. You have a prejudice, hatred against someone because they're from a certain town. You dislike people just because they're not from where you're from." That's what Jesus was saying. "The guy, I heard what you said. I heard you. You think that people that come from Nazareth, where I'm from, aren't worth squat." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? How do you know what I'm like? How do you know what's in my heart? How do you know what I think? How do you know how I feel about people from Nazareth?" And Jesus answered to him, and this is what Jesus said to Nathanael. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, he wasn't talking about the fact that he could see him over there. He was talking about, "I'm God, and I am still able to see whatever is happening to whoever I have anything to do with. And while you were still over there, out of sight to everybody, you were not out of sight to me. I could hear what you were saying. I knew what you were thinking. I knew what you were feeling. And hey, Nathanael, I know you just said about me, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you." And Nathanael answered him and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King. You are the Messiah. You're not man, just man. You're God-man. You are the God who existed before the world began, and you are the one that has come to be King." Well, I think that says a lot. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, I just want to talk to you about two things that Jesus' encounter with Nathanael tells me and you about us. One, Jesus knows two different kinds of things about us. Jesus knew two different kinds of things about Nathanael. Jesus knew him inside and out. Okay? Jesus knew what was going on inside Nathanael's heart. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows what's going on inside your heart, good and bad. Good attitude and bad attitude. But not just that. If he knows your good attitudes and your bad attitudes, you know what? He knows your hurts and your joys. He knows what you have peace about and what you're struggling with. Jesus knows if you're struggling with this or struggling with that. He knows if you're worried about this or if you're worried about that. Listen to me. Jesus knows you inside and out. So if he knows you inside, what you're feeling and what you're thinking, I think that's a comfortable thing. Because even though Jesus knows you inside, for those of us who have seen his glory, that he's King Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died for our sins, and we've seen that, and we follow him because he's King Jesus, who gave his life to take away our sins. And we see that. For those of us who see that, we know something else. We receive from him, from the fullness of his grace. From the fullness of his grace. I mean, I'm not talking about the fullness of Robin's grace. I'm talking about the fullness of King Jesus' grace. We have received from the fullness of King Jesus' grace. And then what have we received from him? Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace for this and grace for that and grace for this and grace for that. Grace for everything. Grace for our orneriness. Grace for our bad attitudes. Grace for our fears. Grace for our struggles. Listen to me. Jesus is all about grace. Aren't you glad? And then Jesus knows all about our circumstances. When Nathanael was out of the sight of anyone other than God, Jesus could see him. And he saw him laying there underneath that fig tree, in his emptiness. But what does that tell us about us? It tells us about wherever we are, we're never out of the sight of God. Whatever danger we're in. Amber was telling me that one of the most uncomfortable thoughts she had that just passed through her mind on their trip to Myanmar was they got on a plane to China. They got on a plane that was flying to China, to a communist country. She was sitting next to a communist, a young man who was a communist, flying to communist China, and she started telling him about Christ. And she was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm telling a communist Chinese about Christ, and I'm fixing to land in China. I wonder if he's going to tell someone that girl was trying to tell me to follow Jesus. And, you know, it wasn't like I'm overwhelmed with fear. But listen to me. No matter where you are and what kind of danger you're in or what you're afraid of or what test you've got to take or what test you're being put through by God, Jesus knows about it. Amen? He knows about it. And he's Lord God over it. And he loves you. And so no matter what, the King of glory, have you seen him? That's what John's book is all about. You and I seeing Jesus in his glory. so that you and I will relate to him for who he is, the Lord of glory, the King. He's King of my heart, who gave his life, slaughtered for me, who suffered the full power of the anger and wrath of God poured out upon him, so I don't have to. Grace upon grace. No matter what you go through, folks, thank Jesus. Thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. Amen. And thank him for grace. And all of God's children said, amen. I hope next week I preach to you on the miracle of turning the water into wine and see what God has for us there. Oh, the next time I'm back. Karen and I are going to Mexico to see our Mexican son down there, to try to help disciple him to love Christ more and more. And over the spring break, that we're going to be gone, and pray for us that the Spirit of God and the power of God will be on us, and that we'll have fruit with Alex and fruit with some of his family, and that I can preach the gospel to people while I'm down there. Amen? And we got this little rinky-dink preacher coming for us, Colby. Y'all don't fall in love with him too much. I can tell you he's going to preach from Ruth chapter 3 and Ruth chapter 4. You do need to hear it. It's going to be great. And he's excited. Amen? Let's go home. Or let's go get us a snack. Or go something. Amen. And all of God's children said amen.